The Little Book of Valuation, How to Value a Company, and Profit. Author, Aswath Damodaran. Value, more than a number. Oscar Wilde defined a cynic as one who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. The same can be said of many investors who regard investing as a game and define winning as staying ahead of the pack. There are dozens of valuation models, but only two valuation approaches, intrinsic and relative. The intrinsic value of an asset is determined by the cash flows you expect that asset to generate over its life and how uncertain you feel about these cash flows. Assets with high and stable cash flows should be worth more than assets with low and volatile cash flows. You should pay more for a property that has long-term renters, paying a high rent, than for a more speculative property with not only lower rental income, but more variable vacancy rates from period to period. While the focus in principle should be on intrinsic valuation, most assets are valued by looking at how the market prices similar assets. Thus, when determining what to pay for a house, you would look at what similar houses in the neighborhood are sold for. With a stock, that means comparing its pricing to similar stocks, usually in its peer group. Some truths about valuation. Noting some general truths about valuation will provide you not only with perspective when looking at valuations done by others, but also with some comfort when doing your own. 1. All valuations are biased. The bias in the process of valuation starts with companies you choose to value. Be honest about your biases. As a general rule, the more bias there is in the process, the less weight you should attach to the valuation judgment. 2. Most valuations, even good ones, are wrong. The amount and type of uncertainty you face can vary across companies, with consequences for investors. One implication is that you cannot judge a valuation by its precision. Another is that avoiding dealing with uncertainty will not make it go away. Finally, collecting more information and doing more analysis will not certainly translate into less uncertainty. In some cases, ironically, it can generate more uncertainty. 3. Simple can be better. When valuating an asset, use the simplest model that you can. If you can value an asset with 3 inputs, don't use 5. Less is more. 4. Start your engines. Valuation models can be simplified, and you can do with information you have. And yes, the future will always be uncertain. Success in investing comes not from being right, but from being wrong less often than others. Valuing young growth companies. Young companies share common attributes, such as no historical performance data, small or no revenues, operating losses. Many don't survive. Investments are illiquid. Even those firms that are publicly traded tend to have small market capitalizations and relatively few shares traded. A significant portion of the equity is usually held by the founder, venture capitalists, and other private equity investors. Multiple claims of an equity. It is not uncommon for some equity investors to have first claims on cash flows, dividends, and others to have additional voting right shares. Investors can improve their odds of success by focusing on the following. Big potential market. The potential market for the company's products and services has to be large enough to absorb high revenue growth for an extended period, without being overwhelmed. Expense tracking and controls. Set targets for a margin, improvement, and view failure to meet these targets as reasons to sell. Access to capital. Look for firms with larger cash balances and institutional investors' bases because they are better positioned. Dependence on key individuals. Young firms are often dependent upon the key individuals or founders. Exclusivity. Success will attract competition. You want young firms that have products that are difficult to imitate. Valuing growth companies. Growth companies are diverse in size and growth prospects, but they share some common characteristics. Dynamic financials. Not only can earnings and book value numbers for the latest year be very different from numbers in the prior year, but they can change dramatically even over shorter time periods. Size disconnect. The market values of growth companies, if they are publicly traded, are often much higher than the book values, since markets incorporate the value of growth assets and accountants do not. In addition, the market values can seem discordant with revenues and earnings. Use of debt. Market history is short and unstable. For investing in growth companies to pay off, here are a few things to look for. Scalable growth. As a firm becomes larger, growth rates will decline. Focus on firms that are able to diversify their product offerings and cater to a wider customer base as they grow. They will see more growth as they scale up than firms that do not have this capability. Sustainable margins. As firms become successful, competition will increase. Look for firms that are able to preserve profit margins and return as they grow. Steer away from firms that have to trade off lower margins and returns for higher growth. The right price. Great growth companies can be bad investments at the wrong price. While multiples such as PEG, which is price earning to growth, ratios have their limitations. Use PEG ratios to screen for companies that are cheap. Valuing mature companies. The common characteristics of mature companies are: revenue growth is approaching growth rate in the economy, margins are established, diverse competitive advantages, debt capacity, cash buildup and return. As earnings improve and reinvestment needs drop off, mature companies will be generating more cash from their operations than they need. If these companies do not pay more dividends, cash balances will start accumulating in these firms. Acquisition-driven growth. Acquisitions of other companies can provide boosts to revenues and earnings, though not always to value. A way to profit from these companies is to look for those firms that are poorly managed but could be worth more under better management. To find these companies, consider the following. Performance indicators. The worst managed a firm is, the greater the potential for increasing values. Look for firms with low operating margins relative to the sector, low returns on capital relative to cost capital, and very low debt ratios. Potential for management change. You have to change management for the value to increase. Search for companies where the field is not titled in management's favor, and where management change, if not imminent, is at least possible. Early warning system. Focus on firms where there is a catalyst for management change, an aging CEO, a new investor on the board of directors, or a change in the corporate charter. Can you make money on your valuations? The answer depends on three variables. The first is the quality of your valuation. Well-done valuations based upon better information should generate better returns than shoddy valuations based on rumors. The second is market feedback. To make money on even the best-done valuation, the market must correct its mistakes. The payoff to valuation is likely to be faster and more lucrative in smoothly functioning markets. In more selfish terms, you want the market to be efficient for the most part, with pockets of inefficiency that you can exploit. The third and final factor is luck. While this will violate your sense of fairness, luck can overwhelm good valuation skills. While you cannot depend on good luck, you can reduce the impact of luck on your returns by spreading your bets across many companies that you have found to be undervalued. Diversification still pays.